Now, Ken Whelan and Richard Collins are still with us. Ken, when I met you first, it must be 25 years ago thereabouts, you mimicked a cuckoo for me. Could you mimic a cuckoo for me today?
I will do my best, but I'm a lot older than I was that first time we met.
First of all, you've got to clasp your hands.
I'm going to clasp my hands, and I'm going to make a cup, really, out of the two hands by joining them together and blow through my two thumbs.
All right. Where did you learn to do this, by the way?
No idea.
Why, more importantly?
I used to whistle through my hand. I don't know how
Roger Whittaker, where you should have brought out a few albums.
And then I heard a cuckoo when I was out fishing one day, and I thought it would be interesting to see could I mimic the cuckoo, and I suddenly realised that by making a cuckoo sound, I could actually get them to buzz me.
Yeah, and you did that for me one time as well.
I did. And I really enjoyed that. Very interestingly, I had found it very difficult to find any cuckoos to cuckoo at for a number of years. The last 2 years have been extraordinary in terms of the number of cuckoos I've come across, which I think is great. Really good.
And we've got lots of recordings. I'm asking you this for a reason, but you go ahead anyway. You do your cuckoo. This is Ken Whelan's cuckoo. I mean, it's himself mimicking a cuckoo. All right, don't get carried away, Ken. Very good, I have to say. Now, Niall, how would you describe that? If you heard that and you were walking through a field, would you think it was a real thing? And describe its call there, if you would.
I definitely would. I think that's very authentic. And I'm glad we're down here in the bells of the radio centre with the doors closed. Otherwise, we'd have cuckoos coming in on top of us. And that's how authentic that was. Yeah, that is exactly the song of the male, that two notes that they do. It's very resonant. It carries a long distance. And it's for advertising, really, to attract females in. And so that's exactly it.
So you'll remember back 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had an email from one of our listeners, and she sent us, along with her email, a recording made by her son of a cuckoo with three notes. Now, we got an email in. It says, "Hi all at Mooney Goes Wild. This morning, a cuckoo was calling outside my house near Carrigdaniel in County Kerry. Some of the calls had three syllables, a bit like cuckoo, ooh, cuckoo, ooh. Call recorded and video attached. Great show, all the best from Avine Lamb." So Ken, can you do one with three notes to mimic that?
Let me have a go. Okay.
Very good. Now, why are we going through all of this again, you might ask? I thought we'd been there and done that. Well, Pierce Ryan, who's another one of our Mooney listeners, has some thoughts on the subject.
Hello. I was listening to your programme there on Monday night, and you played a recording of a cuckoo with a strange sounding third note in his song or whatever. And it just put me in mind of the poem that my father-in-law used to say about cuckoo. "The cuckoo comes in April, in May he sings all day, in June he changes his tune, and in July he flies away." So I was just wondering if maybe this cuckoo has changed his tune in June, or has he been singing like that since he got here? And do other birds do the same thing? Do they change their tune? Because I noticed recently the chiff-chaff seems to have added a few extra notes onto the end of his chiff-chaff song. I don't think he's been doing that since that 30 years since I heard him. So I'm wondering, do other birds change their tune as well? One of the theories I've heard about the cuckoo changing his tune is one is to do with he gets hoarse from singing all day in May. And the other one is that something to do with hormones or something. Hormone levels drop or something. Maybe your experts in Birdwatch Ireland there will be able to tell you. Do birds change their tune? Could that be the reason why the cuckoo is making that extra note? And then someone else pointed out to me that poem is very like the words of a song by Paul Simon. I think it's called April Come She Will or something like that. Anyway, that's my question for you.
April, come she will, when streams are ripe and swelled with rain, may she will stay resting in my arms again. June, she'll change her tune. In restless walks, she'll prowl the night. July, she will fly and give no warning to her flight. August, die she must. The autumn winds blow chilly and cold. September, I remember. A love once new has now grown old.
Thank you very much indeed, Pierce Ryan. And any old excuse to play Paul Simon on the radio is a good one for me. Now, I never thought of that before, the relationship between Paul Simon, April She Will Come and The Cuckoo. I'll do a little bit of digging while the guys get to answering your other questions. And we'll start with you, Niall Hatch. As Piers said, that your Birdwatch Ireland expert may be able to shed some light on this. Do birds change their tunes? Well, Niall, no pressure. Come on, come on.
Since we had the original broadcast with a three-noted cuckoo, I did a bit of a dive into the literature on this, and there's actually a paper published not so long ago looking at this phenomenon where some cuckoos do add this occasionally this third note. And it seems that it's not every cuckoo that does it, and it's rare enough, but it seems to be something to do with proximity of a female, because it's the male that's making that song. Mm-hmm. And if he gets particularly excited for females nearby and the female is making her own call, which is this bubbling noise, it's completely different, that can sometimes prompt the male to add that extra notes. It seems it may be some sort of communication function to the female. It's interesting what Pierce is asking there about do birds change their tune? Because the thing is, with cuckoos, they're quite different from the, let's call the songbirds, the passerines that we have in Ireland, because they don't learn their songs. So most of our songbirds, like your robins, your wrens, your blackbirds, the chiff-chaff as well that he mentioned, they learn their songs from their fathers, because it's just the males that sing in those species. And they learn it at a young age, but then they perfect it as they get a bit older. With the cuckoo, that song is genetically coded into them. They never learn it because, of course, they never meet their father. They never even hear him. So they start to sing the song never having heard a cuckoo before. And that is all prompted by hormones. So that call is genetically in their DNA.
Why are you laughing, Ken?
I know, Ken, you're serious. I know you're going to ask me if the cuckoo sound is genetically ingrained in me or not.
No, never crossed my mind.
But what happens then with, it's interesting with the chiff-chaff, which actually, coincidentally, it's another bird that is named after its song. Because
yeah, but what Pierce is saying there kind of struck a chord with me, because it goes chiff-chaff, chiff-chiff, chaff-chaff, chiff-chaff, chiff. I've heard of that. It seems like it's going on and on and on and on.
But it does more than that. And actually, the thing is, if you're very close to them, you have to be really close to hear, because it sounds like it stops singing. There's a gap before it starts the chiff-chaff, chaff-chaff, chaff-chaff. Mm. Chiff. Again, it goes on like that. And those, the order of those notes seems to be random. You can do a chaff or a chiff. It doesn't go chiff-chaff, chiff-chaff. It goes all over the place, just like you did there. But then what they do, it sounds like they've stopped. But if you're really close to them, you can hear they haven't. They actually add an extra note. So they go chiff, chaff, 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 chiff, 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 chaff, chaff. But those little in the middle, you have to write
beside it. The ones in Greystones where you live.
No, no, no. So maybe that's what he was referring to. But the thing, of course, is that with a chiff chaff, it has to learn that song from its father. So if we've seen cases where something happened, then actually a chiff chaff was raised by a willow warbler, and which is a closely related species. It looks incredibly similar, but sings a completely different song. And what happened was the chiff chaff, when he matured and became an adult male himself, he sang a very wonky song. It was kind of between the two of them. He got it wrong, and of course the issue there is the females of his own species won't recognise that, right, as something they're attracted to, and so it doesn't continue on.
So we think that the cuckoo's third note, the cuckoo, is inspired or stimulated by the presence of a female.
That seems to be, when it happens,
judging
it seems
by
to be
the literature you've read.
Yes, exactly. So it's when it seems to be, not always, but when a female's nearby, it's almost always associated with a female being very vocal herself. But that's a much harder sound to hear, this bubbling noise the female makes, because it doesn't carry anywhere near as far as the male's voice does. So if you're distant, you'll just hear the male, not the female. Mm. Very interesting thing about cuckoos, or another very interesting thing, is that while all the males look absolutely identical, they're very kind of odd-looking birds, they're grey with quite long wings, they droop below them, and lots of striping or barring across the chest. The females come in two different colour varieties. That's really odd. Most of them are quite like the male, just maybe a little more brownish tinge, but they're very much grey birds. And the other variant is a wonderful russet, rusty, reddish brown colour. It looks quite different. And the majority of them tend to be the grey type. And the theory behind this, it seems to hold water, is that they resemble a sparrowhawk. They look very much like a sparrowhawk when they fly.
They do, yeah.
And it's thought that this is to scare the victims, let's say the host of the unwitting foster parents, to be up from the nest, because that female cuckoo, she has to find the nest where those birds are. And to do that, if she flies along, all of a sudden, if that in England, let's say the reed warbler, in Ireland, maybe the meadow pipit, when they see what they think of the sparrowhawk approaching, they think, I better get out of here, it wants to eat me. Knowing that, or having evolved at least to understand, that its eggs are safe, the sparrowhawk has no interest in its chicks or in its eggs, it just wants to eat the adults, so it flies off, gives away its location. But of course, it was really a cuckoo, and then it sees exactly where the nest is, it comes in, takes out an egg, eats it often, and lays its own. It goes away within 10 seconds, and the foster parents none the wiser. However, there's a law of diminishing returns with that, and if this happens too much, all of a sudden the host species isn't fooled anymore, and they go about their business, and all of a sudden then the females who don't look like sparrowhawks, the ones who are reddish brown, they have an advantage, because they can stop and wait and watch and take their time, and the birds aren't afraid of them, and they have different strategies. So that's why it seems neither type of female variant has been selected against by evolution. There's room for both of them still.
Ken?
Yeah, just now that I have Nile here, just to get some advice, because when I'm lucky enough to actually attract a male cuckoo, when I'm doing my cuckoo sound in a boat and out fishing and it's nice and quiet, I've noticed a very interesting change in behaviour. So what happens is that the male flies over, and he'll fly over a few times without making any sound at all, then I'll cuckoo. And when he notices that the cuckoo is below him, he starts to dart in the sky, and he actually looks aggressive. He looks really annoyed. And he comes down towards the boat, and then he cuckoos two or three times very quickly, and then he moves away from the boat again. And it always has struck me that these are quite an aggressive bird, just by the way he's actually approaching that particular scenario, where obviously he's totally confused and very annoyed about someone invading his territory, I presume.
That's exactly it, yes. As far as he's concerned, you're a rival male. So he hears this cuckoo has had the temerity to come into his patch and make that same sound, trying to woo his females. This is terrible. So he flies in and he swoops down, and ordinarily what would happen if it was genuinely a cuckoo making that sound, he would see that cuckoo straight away, and there could be an altercation, or the cuckoo would take the hint and fly away. He swoops down, and all of a sudden there's no cuckoo, there's just Ken Whelan there. Yeah. That's no cuckoo. So he calls to try and provoke that cuckoo to react, so he can see where it is and where it's gone. And then after a while he realises, oh, he's not here anymore, and he leaves. But then if you call again, he realises, oh, he's back, and he keeps coming. He can drive them nuts. So yeah, best to do it sparingly, I'd say.
And with regards to Paul Simon singing that song April Come She Will, which you can hear there in the background. Well, I'm just looking up Wikipedia, because unless you can tell me, Niall, can you? Are you a musical expert? Can you tell me the origins of that song?
I know this. I like Paul Simon very much, but I don't know the origins of that song.
Me too. It says the song was written in 1964 while Paul Simon was in England. Its lyrics use the changing nature of the seasons as a metaphor for a girl's changing moods. The inspiration for the song was a girl that Simon met and the nursery rhyme she used to recite, Cuckoo. James Hardy lists regional variations to this folk rhyme about the cuckoo, and the one closest to the lyrics is from Hampshire. It says, in April come I will, in May I prepare to stay, in June I change my tune, in July I prepare to fly, in August go I must. And I suppose if you listen to the way I said that, it kind of sounds a bit like that song. But cuckoos have been celebrated in song long before Paul Simon came along. Isn't that true, Richard?
Yes, the famous one is a thing called the Reading Rota, a round, three blind mice is the typical round. You start the song, then your colleague comes in on your second line, and then another one comes in on the third line. Well, this there's an illuminated manuscript which was written in Reading Abbey around 1260s or thereabouts, I might be slightly wrong on that, 13th century. It runs, my old English accent is terrible, but it's something like, Sumer is icumen in lude sing cuckoo. The summer is coming, loud sings the cuckoo. Now, I think that's very interesting for us, because birds changed their songs. What individual birds sang back in the 13th century might be quite different from what it is now. But here we have evidence that the cuckoo sang then just as it does today. So it's very interesting that it did that. And that's a famous piece of medieval iconography, if you like.